Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today on August 28, 2009, on this overcast Fresno day, I am thrilled to welcome Jeremiah Ouyang. He is not quite with us yet, so just wanted to bring our callers up to speed. He made an announcement last week that he was leaving Forrester, where he has been a well-known analyst for, I think, the last 2 years or so. And he's actually moving over to a different group, which he can tell us about. But obviously, there's a lot of questions in the social media space about what it's going to mean with Jeremiah not in the role, because, of course, he comes with the fantastic experience it sounds like he had at Hitachi, actually doing the work that a lot of us do on the ground in social media on a daily basis. So obviously having that experience and then looking at organizations as they've changed over the years, and of course his social media has, I think, almost become mainstream, which is something he's addressed in his blog if you've not already seen it. It's web-strategist.com. So it's something that he's even addressed and talked about. So, you know, the kinds of things that, you know, we definitely want to ask Jeremiah about is what prompted the move, and, you know, will he continue the web strategy blog? You know, talking about the difference between strategy and tactics, something that I know you've heard me go on and on about in terms of people thinking, that a particular tool, for example, might provide insight in a strategic fashion, when in reality, my sense is that most of the time it is more tactical. So how do you really get to a place where you're dealing with social media on a very strategic basis? Do you start with a strategic plan? Do you jump into the waters and get your feet wet by actually trying a few tools and seeing how those work? Those are all questions that a lot of companies come to me with, organizations come to me with, and are potentially confused. Many of them have already started engaging in, for example, a Twitter strategy, or what they think is a Twitter strategy, or they know that it's a tactic, and they're going, you know, what's the larger goal? And, you know, they're just coming to the conclusion that they should be asking themselves that. But I actually find that that's a very healthy sign, because as long as you're asking yourself the question and acting upon it, you know, it gives you the opportunity to make a positive difference in terms of actually, you know, getting to the point where you can make yourself more strategic in your efforts. And when I say strategic, I mean map what your efforts are online to your actual business goals and objectives. So things, for example, that you're being held accountable for in your everyday job. So sometimes I'll see requisitions or job descriptions for people and help them build social media programs around those descriptions, which is something that sounds hard to do, but sometimes it's actually really logical. For example, if your goal is lead generation, Facebook may not be the best place for you. But if you have a heavy consumer play, that might be exactly where you want to be. So really, those are the kinds of questions that certainly I have dealt with. As an analyst, certainly Jeremiah has had a lot more experience probably dealing with lots of different kinds of questions on different kinds of levels in terms of how to be strategic, how to make sure that you're not just being kind of a one-hit wonder online, and how to really find the conversation. I believe that he founded at least one user group at Hitachi, for example. You know, how do companies best leverage forums and or user groups, many of which form outside of the company. And that's definitely a question that you want to make sure that you're answering, because if you're not actually addressing that question, if you're not getting to the point where you're able to say, you know, we're doing this for X reason, and you're not then being able to track, you know, the actual outcome. So whether that's an analytics report, whether that's, you know, actual number of leads, those are the kinds of things that you want to be looking for in terms of measurement of success, which certainly different, you know, different folks have different opinions about in any case. But I think we have Jeremiah on the line, and let me just see if we can catch him here. Jeremiah,
hey,
are you with
going?
Us?
Hi.
Hello,
sorry,
welcome.
So
that
I'm
is
sorry,
okay. I bet you've had a crazy 24 hours.
Yeah, leaving a stable job in the middle of a recession to start your own thing, it's a little bit nutty.
I just did the same thing myself, so I can definitely understand. I was just kind of blathering on about your role at Forrester.
Oh, cool.
And so you had announced last week that you were leaving Forrester, and you revealed the news yesterday. So if you want to catch everybody up to speed in your own words about what you're going to be doing, it sounds like a pretty cool role.
Yeah, I've joined the Altimeter Group as a partner, and I will be a strategy consultant helping some of the greatest brands out there really focus on their customer strategy. And to be clear that while social is certainly here today, and that'll be a majority of my focus, I'm going to be exploring the emerging technologies that are coming. And the goal here is to create a process so companies can adopt these technologies no matter what comes at you.
Right. And so the idea would be to expand. I think you had said in your blog post yesterday, you know, looking at the larger ecosystem, and part of that would be mobile. What are some of the other areas that you would be looking at?
Right. So mobile is certainly the first thing that we'll see when it comes to where social networks will combine, and then that starts to take off with location-based, and then that starts to triangulate, and then augmented reality sits on top of that. So that significantly changes how people will interact, not just when they're in front of the computer, but when they move around. I think that'll be actually a nice thing. We'll be untethered from the computers more as we start to use mobile devices and actually start to meet more in person. Now, that changes
right.
the dynamic of brands, because now that people will make decisions based upon this interface that they see and in context of have their friends been here previously or what do they think about wherever they are. So there's a lot of more changes coming, and companies need to get ready as quickly as possible.
How much, you know, kind of along those lines, how much of that do you think is driven, you know, there's new reports out about behavioral patterns, which is something that I think everyone that's doing social media these days has to really take a look at. But, you know, young people, you know, there's different reports that come out, but I read something yesterday about, you know, young people hate Twitter. Now, whatever their actual emotional feeling is towards Twitter, you know, there's certainly the millennial generation and how they interact. Do you find that need to be kind of agnostic to platform, you know, which is kind of what you're talking about, you know, spreading your wings beyond just the computer and to other devices that act as computers. Do you find that, was that part of maybe your motivation is kind of where the next generation's going?
Well, I think actually Twitter is just, so actually let's back up on Twitter, teens don't use Twitter. There's some reports that indicate that, but that's not always the case. And I certainly don't take the, there's one study that was done and they just asked one teen to explain everything and they turned that into reports. And I don't really find that too valid data-wise. But
yeah.
Let's be clear that if adults are now using Twitter, they're simply catching up to the behaviors that teens already have been doing for years.
Mm-hmm.
with SMS. So either way we look at this, there's lots of people, especially teens, that are using text messaging and instant messaging to communicate with each other. So I think this is a larger trend. Information is moving faster. It's more instantaneous. It's mobile. I don't know. Are we being streamed live right now? If we are, that's
yes,
that happens.
We are.
Okay. by the way, I actually have a hard stop at 9:30 my time. I have to.
Okay. That's all right. We'll schedule accordingly, or we'll work with you accordingly. But what I was getting at was, you know, this idea that, you know, that generations and, you know, kind of the behavioral trends, whether the study is right or not, certainly plays a role in this. How much will you be actually taking a look at that as part of your new role? Because I think it's something that you've...
In generations? Yes.
Yeah,
because
you talked about in the blog for sure.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking at these things. And I just... I'm going to be looking at all the technologies that are emerging and how it impacts brands, in particular large companies. So wherever you see customer movement, that's, you know, where you need to go. And, you know, I'm watching, like, literally my own brand, and I see Rich Reeder just tweeted at me that he's listening to me right now. So this same behavior, I need to make sure that my clients understand that they need to go wherever customers go when they're talking or listening, in this case, like Rich is. So this
God, you gotta love Rich. He's everywhere. He's a great guy. One of the things I gotta ask you is if you're gonna continue your web strategy blog.
You know, I got a lot of. There's two really interesting things out of that. The first thing is a lot of people unsubscribed when I announced that I was leaving Forrester, because Forrester has such a distinguished brand, and I really, really enjoyed my time there. That, you know, people certainly salute they say in the military, they say you salute the uniform, not the man or the woman. In this case, a lot of people really just wanted to hear what a Forrester analyst had to say. So it's interesting, and I'm actually glad that they left, that they some people unsubscribed rather than, you know, for Jeremiah. So that was interesting. But the short answer is, my blog, the web strategy blog, is a career blog. So this is the fourth company now that I've been at that I've had this blog, and I will continue to write and share about how companies use these digital technologies to connect with their customers. So I will certainly be using it. And if you watch my behavior, it's not just me talking about what I see, but I actually engage and want to understand in the comments, and people are always smarter than me, and they tell me so many interesting things that, for me, you know, Twitter and blogs, it's really what I call a social computer, for a lack of a better term. If I ask a question, I get to learn back from all the smart people out there, like Rich Reeder. So to me, this is a really important tool that I need to live. So,
well, fantastic. You end a lot of your posts with a question, which I think is great. You know,
You noticed.
Yeah, of course. I've been reading you for a long time now. But
okay.
I mean, I think that's a really, I think, you know, that's something that a lot of us can learn from, is to make sure that we're, you know, recognizing that it's a two-way street, you know, that you, you know, just asking that question and actually meaning it, too, we should say, is actually really, really important.
The audience is always collectively smarter than any person on stage. That's just a rule, just by the law of odds.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to ask you, so you went to a lot of, you know, obviously did a lot of travel for Forrester. Are you going to be doing as much for the Altimer Group?
I will. I'm actually booking some things right now. People ask me to come out to speak at their companies or conferences, so I'll continue to do that. But I think in general, I will travel a lot less. I was on a plane 2 to 3 times a month. That's a lot of travel. So I'd like to slow down a little bit and have some deeper relationships with companies. I want to go deeper now. I certainly went wide, you know, parachuting all over the place. But now I want to spend, like, more time with the truly innovative companies and people like yourself out there that are pushing the envelope where things are going.
So one of the things I want to ask you about was, one of my favorite times I was following your blog was when you were actually talking about a conference in Amsterdam that you attended, I think, earlier this year. But what has been your favorite conference where data's come out that you really were, like, wowed by, or you know, something happened that made you go, wow, this is really, this, it made you stand up and really pay attention?
Jeez, that's a hard question.
At least in the last year, let's say.
No, I find the Web 2.0 Expo of this year in San Francisco, it was in, what, March or May?
Yeah, it was April, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, one of those early spring months. And that was a really telling thing, because what I saw there was a change in the market, that people came there from all over the world. There was certainly less attendance than previous years. You know, usually
mm-hmm.
there's thousands of people that would come. But now I started
mm-hmm.
to see a lot of big brands come. Big companies.
Yeah.
Like the sponsors were like Microsoft, IBM, Intel, AMD, Cisco. And that signifies a big trend that the corporations are starting to get serious. In fact, Rachel, I'm happy. She just did a blog post on Community Roundtable, and I just tweeted about it, about how there's this new industry emerging. And she put our company in there called Social Enterprise Services, as if it's a new class of this industry that's coming around. And I think that's really interesting because, yeah, well, that's why obviously I could see everything at the industry level, so I see where things are headed, and I know it's definitely these bigger companies want to understand and start to deploy.
Yeah, I mean, we had, a couple of folks. We had Jen and Brady on from, you know, that organized Web 2.0, and that was one of the things that we talked about was, you know, certainly that, and then the actual theme, the power of less, and actually having Microsoft, Tim O'Reilly having the long connection that he's had with the gentleman he spoke with from Microsoft, whose name escapes me at the moment, was Stephen Ellop. And, you know, just seeing them on stage almost spar, but they were friends too. I mean, there's just so many layers. And I know that, you know, Jen and Brady were saying that, you know, the amount of sort of hissing and that sort of thing that they kind of didn't really expect to happen was pretty amazing for them. You just don't expect people to sort of behave that way at a conference, but they did, you know, and it was funny when the T-shirt was presented. Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of interesting from a conference organizer point of view. You know, they had this different perspective on things, and that was certainly really interesting. So, I mean, you analyze data, you know, and that's is part of the reports that you have done, and certainly part of the blogging that you've done. And I'm curious what you would consider some of the really big aha trends besides mobile that you'll be looking at moving on to your new role.
Well, social will continue to be the core of it. You know, actually, let's back up. I actually don't think that technologies are that important. So one technology that is going to come someday, and people are going to say he's crazy, but e-telepathy, electronic telepathy, or a device, an input-output device that becomes so small that you just can't visibly see it. Technically, the iPhone in the pocket with the Bluetooth in your ear is headed that
mm-hmm.
direction where people can, you know. But I think at some point people won't have to actually audibly speak, and you can communicate either through the gestures in your mouth or some other way that you can do it. Now, so that's very far-fetched, and that's going to cause a lot of disruptions for companies. And I use that as the model, like 10 years from now. What would that look like? But
mm-hmm.
the important thing here is it's the process in which companies – adapt technologies regardless of whatever comes out. So to me, it doesn't matter what the technology is. It's this change management that has to happen within companies. Companies, by definition, are typically top-down driven, and there's not a lot of change from the bottom. But now we're seeing these tools are empowering people to make their own communities and to create their own mini companies and personal brands. So the people are the walls are dropping. So that's what I see as the big change, is the process needed. So I'm going
yeah,
to
I
try
actually
to
don't think
out
it's,
how to make that. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if you walk down the street in San Francisco in the last, like, 5 years, I mean, people have been sort of talking to whomever they're talking to on their whatever device it is for years. And it's felt, you know, it can feel like a very lonely city sometimes in the middle of the financial district, because there's really no one around that's not busy talking to someone, doing something else. And I've often thought, God, wouldn't it be so easy if, you know, something was actually – and then you get into this whole sort of Blade Runner thought process about, like, you know, things being, like, actually inserted into you. But, I mean, you're already doing that with your Bluetooth headsets going inside your ear. So it's kind of...
It's happening, little by little.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of...
The guy that watches Scoble, he's, like, the most likely to have something permanently embedded in him. He's definitely going to.
What do you think, Rossi did the same
way.
Thing?
I
agree with you. I'm laughing because I would not be surprised.
Yeah, he's the guy to watch. Like, he is, like, my bellwether for where he hangs his hat on which technologies. He's, like, he... I want to say some really good things about Scoble. He gets a bad rap, and I tease him, certainly, both in person and sometimes online. But his instincts to – he tries almost every tool out there, so you got to give him a lot of credit for that. But his instincts are probably higher than VC's instincts on what are you gonna, or what's going to work. He actually – he's able to sniff out what's going to be popular.
Do you think he
really
was right about FriendFeed?
He was, and it got acquired. And I don't know if that's good for FriendFeed community, but – he sniffed that out. He was the one that sniffed out Twitter. And to some part, Ustream. So he got on these things early. So
I don't know if you remember Web 2.0 2 years ago when there was a Twitter session and they were doing, you know, live tweets to the screen and people were giving updates about where Robert was. You know, Bob's in the hallway, he's coming in, you know, so watch what you say about Twitter. I want to get back to, you know, your change a little bit because we only have a few more minutes with you. I want to find out, you know, if what you can tell us in terms of, and of course, if you go to web-strategist.com or go to jenniferlindsay.com, you can get the link to Jeremiah's post about what he's going to be doing, which is very long, detailed, and a great read, because I think that there, more and more there is so much need for understanding the difference between, and part of what I was rambling on about before you joined was, you know, really understanding the difference between strategy and tactic. And I think that you've clearly delineated that, bringing that to the table, you know, the table, and even in this discussion saying, well, let's pop up the level and make sure that we understand that, you know, we're talking about this versus this, which is something that you have to do when you talk with companies a lot of the time because they've dove into a Twitter strategy, what they think is a Twitter strategy, and you're going, well, it's a tool. And maybe your larger strategy actually looks like this, so that, you know, when I talk to my friends, I went to Columbia Journalism School, and I say, they say Twitter's ruining journalism. I'm going, well, wait a minute, doesn't it just make us really good headline writers? Because it's basically a headline and a link. So, I mean, you can make it a good thing or you can make it a bad thing. You can say you have to write really tight, really well, or people don't follow you or don't care. Or if they're following you, they don't read you. But, you know,
are screwdrivers evil? You know, are guns evil? It depends on how you use them.
Absolutely. Very good point. Very well said. I want to make sure that I ask you the question that I'm sure everybody is asking you right now, which is what prompted the move?
Right,
going deeper?
Yes, I had a great run 2 years to really see the whole space. I want to make a lifestyle change and get back into practice. I come from practice. I ran the social program at Hitachi Data Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to PodTech with Scoble. So it was a great way to see where the industry's headed. I think I know where it's going, or at least I probably have one of the best guesses. And I want to get back and have deeper relationships with some of these companies to do it.
So one of the things that you've talked about are the three web strategy spheres.
Wow, you've been reading for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, got to do my research and got to know
great.
Who I'm talking to. I have a wish list of podcast guests for a reason. So, is that something that you see either evolving or coming with you, or is that just sort of the mindset that you bring to the table?
It's funny because I was talking about it yesterday with Deborah Schultz, my new partner. So the web strategy sphere is just so everybody is on the same table. There's three overlapping circles. It's certainly a Venn diagram. And there's three. And to be successful in your strategy, you need to understand these things. The first one that you need to understand, the sphere, is of community or customers or the market. The second one is your business goals and objectives. And the third one you also have to take into account is the new technologies. So in the Venn diagram, you need to be right in that apex, right in the center of that, and that's where I'm always trying to fit, right, to be right in those centers. Now, if you're off just a little bit and you get too focused on one area and you miss what is the overall goals, so you need to have all three of those things in balance in order to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking to see who's going to do that.
Well, that'll be interesting. I think to see you talk about if that evolves or not as you say, go deep. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is your title. Are you actually consulting for the group? Or you said you're a partner with the group. So
that's right.
This is your exclusive gig?
This is my only gig. Right. And so Charlene, who I will follow to the end in my professional career, she's also a personal friend.
She's a great lady.
I mean, nobody ever questioned why you're going with Charlene. It's like, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, she actually was one of the main reasons I went to Forrester as well. So
oh, I see.
She was there as well, and I was working with her. So the chances of us not getting along are very slim.
Yeah, well, I mean, and she's one of the ones where, you know, she broke out on a limb, mm-hmm. you know, broke out with her own, you know, group. And I remember seeing her. She was the panelist at the event I was speaking at for nonprofits. And, you know, she's one of those people who I think is so fantastic because she will donate time to a good cause, even if she doesn't really have the time. And she's got the kids and, you know, family commitments.
Great.
And she will make the time. So she's definitely not only a great person to follow in the social sphere, but I think, you know, one of the things I'll be watching for in terms of your group, yeah, she's a great person. And I think that, you know, that's
really
one of the things that's really exciting about your group. And also I think that you know, the experience that you had at Hitachi, for example, you know, is really what to me is key in terms of what you're bringing to the group.
Thanks.
In terms of what you feel you're bringing, well, I mean, that's coming from someone who's, you know, a practitioner, right? I really think that strategy is everything. If you don't have a strategy, you might as well stop what you're doing. You're probably wasting money and time or both.
Right.
So, you know, what do you really feel like, you know, in our last minute or so here, what do you really feel like you're bringing to the table that's uniquely special?
Right. So we're going to create a process that helps companies. So we'll evaluate their situation, where they are at a strategic level, identify what their goals are, work with them, and draw out a plan. We'll also work with them to find the right vendors in the space. So being an industry analyst, I was able to catalog that. I know who's doing what. So to be very clear to anybody who's a technology or service provider, we want to work with you. So think of us as a general contractor, where our client
mm-hmm.
is building the house, and we want to work with a variety of the specialists to do this work. And then the unique thing that it's not just consulting is we're going to create a unique lab. So the labs that Deb's created at Procter & Gamble, the social media labs, those are the types of things we're going to do with our clients. So creating a unique ecosystem with a brand and the right vendors that we think should come to the table to help them and to facilitate that. So if you go check out Brian Solis's picture, we actually have a space that can host conferences. We have three large training rooms,
mm-hmm.
A bunch of meeting rooms. So it's really designed to facilitate that in person as well as virtually. So I think
Fantastic.
That makes it a little bit unique in that regard.
Well, I know you have a hard stop in like 2 minutes, so I'm going to let you move on. I'm sorry we didn't get to a more organized question and answer session.
No,
hopefully you'll
really
come
fun.
Back. Hopefully you'll come back in a few months and tell us how the process is working. I encourage everyone to go to the Web Strategy blog. I'll let you go, Jeremiah, so you can get off to your next event. Best of luck to you. Thank you for joining the program, and your perspective is always in value. Absolutely, and I'm sure I will see you around the circuit. I'll come seek you out more diligently than I have in the past.
Sure. I really appreciate
it. All right.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
So thank you for tuning in to The A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay, and my special guest, Jeremiah Ouyang. Remember to friend us on Blog Talk Radio or add us to your favorites here. Be sure to tune in next week when our featured guest is Dan Rosenheim, who is the VP and News Director of the Bay Area CBS 5 KPIX, or KPIX. That's 1 week from today at noon Pacific. As always, you can keep up with the latest on this show, archives, and free informational webcasts at jenniferlindsay.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.